Okay, welcome back to Project Independence in You here at WCWP.org. We have been talking with Susan Christie and Mindy Haar, who are our guests today, and also our fantastic co-host, David Linden.
Good morning again. By the way, for those who have that old-fashioned instrument called the radio, they can also get this program on 88.1 FM.
They can, but what I understand...
Depending upon where they're standing.
You have to be, like, very close to the LIU campus. Is that right? What's the radius? Do you have any idea? I'm speaking now with our lovely engineer, yes. Victoria. And
I'm not 100% sure. I know it reaches, like, the Nassau, like, area more than, like, Suffolk.
Right, but right.
I don't know, like,
maybe
exactly.
North.
Once you get, like... towards like the LIE, then you tend to lose it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. All right. Well,
if you can always listen online.
And you can always listen online. And if you miss the show, all of these shows are archived.
Yeah.
And we could tell you later how to access that. But Susan, we wanted some important information about the center.
Yes.
Again, maybe the easiest way to get there, and also maybe even more importantly, is the phone number and how to access you.
Yes, well, the Academic Healthcare Center is on the campus of NYIT in Old Westbury. It's in the W. Kenneth Ryland Building on the campus of NYIT. The health center is open from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and our phone number is 516-686-1300.
Okay.
If you want to schedule an appointment, and most insurances are accepted.
That's great. And if anybody has any questions about insurance, specialists...
They can call that number.
They can call that number Monday through Friday, and we will definitely talk a little bit more about how to contact you during our next segment.
Sure.
But let's talk with Mindy now. And I mean, Susan, feel free to chime in too when, you know, you have some, you know, interesting information.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nutrition for seniors, sugar and or salt in the diet.
Mm-hmm.
So are you here to tell us those things are bad?
Well, really,
not to put you on the spot.
No, everything, obviously, my philosophy is everything in moderation.
Right.
But one of the challenges today in getting a healthy diet and eating what you should eat is that the food manufacturers are not just creating food to be satisfying.
Mm.
They're creating food to be irresistible. And making food irresistible is not very difficult. There are just three magic ingredients that in certain combinations make you want to keep eating. Not
sugar.
Obscure chemicals,
fats,
but they are sugar, salt,
and fat.
Correct. That's right. So it's not that you should never have sugar or never have salt or certainly never, you know, you do need a certain amount of fat in your diet, but it's very challenging knowing how much you're getting and to try to moderate it. So one of the things that's very important in terms of sugar, a new development is that before on food labels, it would combine added sugar with food with sugar that's naturally found, something in fruit or in milk or in yogurt. Yogurt would have the natural lactose in the milk, but they could also, in a container of fruit yogurt, have up to 8 teaspoons of added sugar.
Oh my.
So what's new on food labels is that it will tell you added sugar and how many grams. So in every teaspoon of sugar is 4 grams of carbohydrate. So if you see on a food label something has 20 grams of added sugar, that's 5 added teaspoons of sugar.
So if the label says no sugar added, it does not mean that there's no sugar in the food.
Right.
It just means you haven't put in additional sugar.
Additional sugar, and that's usually fine. It could be fructose, which is naturally found in fruit, lactose naturally found in milk, and that's usually okay unless a person is has diabetes and has to moderate their carbohydrate intake to a certain extent. But even people who have diabetes can eat fruit and have a certain amount of grains in their diet.
It's corn-based sugar.
Okay, so what was very coming out in the media was a lot of the added sugar comes from corn syrup, and some of that corn syrup is called high fructose corn syrup.
That's
what I think you're thinking about. So some studies show that that might be a little more problematic than sucrose. But the bottom, sucrose, which is table sugar. But the bottom line is that once it gets into your body, it's all broken down into glucose. So, but what did the food manufacturers do? They jumped on that and said, oh, our product has no high fructose corn syrup, and instead started using sugar. A lot of the soft drink companies started doing that, making people think, oh, no worries, nothing, you know, to be concerned about. It doesn't have high fructose corn syrup, but that can of soda has 10 teaspoons of sugar.
So, am I correct that the high fructose sugar is less expensive for the manufacturer?
Yes, that's definitely correct, and that's one of the reasons they started using it. So a lot of them have switched, but again, it's I certainly would say never have it, and I don't think it's a terrible ingredient. It's a question of how much, how often.
That right.
Really,
you know, so one thing, you know, one tip is to take a look at labels and see how much added sugar. And it doesn't mean to avoid it completely. If you like that fruit yogurt, blueberry yogurt, but maybe mix it with plain yogurt, and in that way, you're cutting down on some of that. And, you know, the usual recommendations, eating more fruit. Some people say, well, you know, fruit in season, or fruit may be expensive, but frozen fruit, like frozen blueberries, frozen berries, are very good nutritiously and don't have sugar.
An apple a day for my lunch.
An apple a day. That's great.
Yeah. That's good.
That's great.
And here you are.
That's great. That's great. And for those, you know, and some people, an apple may be harder if it's a whole apple, slicing it up, or even just putting a whole apple in a bowl with a little bit of orange juice, put it in the microwave for a few minutes, and you have an instant baked apple. So anybody who may have, you know, chewing the apple might be a problem. Making it a baked apple is a great idea.
Whenever we have someone on who talks about food and nutrition,
yes,
and we are talking about seniors,
yes,
so we wind up talking about fiber a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, you have to have a certain amount of fiber in your diet.
Yes.
It's so difficult to find that amount. I mean, it's a high amount of fiber that you really should have every day.
Yes.
And how do you kind of, what can you eat to actually get there without finding, you know, a cereal with super high fiber or?
Right. Okay. So some, and what you're saying is so correct. The average woman needs about 28 grams of fiber, average man 35 grams. But, and if we think of that in the context that the average American gets 8 grams. So most people are far from getting what you need. So whole grain cereals, all bran, has about 8 grams in just one serving. Fruits, vegetables are great. Look for breads. Don't just, some breads may say wheat bread, but that doesn't mean it's necessarily made with the whole wheat. Mm. On the label, it will say grams of fiber. Look for breads that have at least 3 grams of fiber. Look for cereals. I don't know if I should mention stores, but Trader Joe's has a great line of cereals that are wonderful, that have 7-8 grams. The Puffin cereals have like 7-8 grams of fiber. Also, sprinkling chia seeds, flax seeds, which in just 1 or 2 tablespoons also, like 8 grams of fiber, sprinkling that in your cereal or in your yogurt is wonderful in terms of adding fiber, but it's
good information.
Fiber cereal.
Yes, the 100% bran cereals. That nothing tops that.
Right.
Those have like over 10 grams per serving.
On top of my Kashi Go Lean.
Ah, you're in business. Yeah. No, that's great. That's great.
Know, one of the things, obviously, because we are an aging in place initiative, is we have a lot of people who are widowed.
Yes.
They're living at home. They are not likely to prepare big, large, healthy meals for themselves for dinner.
Right.
Is there what can you recommend for seniors in preparation for meals, especially, you know, in the evening? Or we want them to make sure they're getting in all their nutrients.
Yes. Okay. So obviously, preparation may take longer, getting the food, and you mentioned Project Independence does offer transportation to supermarkets, which
free.
Is so important
yes.
to getting the ingredients you need. I think cooking in quantity, a lot of seniors were used to preparing for family, so now a challenge is, wait, I'm just preparing for myself, should I even bother? But if they prepare the way they used to, maybe making, let's say, one of my big things that I like to make in quantity are bean burgers. I cook beans and add ingredients, and I'll make 20 at a time and then put them, store them in individual plastic bags in the freezer,
sure.
and then take them out as I need. You could do that with bean burgers. You can make spinach and cottage cheese burgers.
Wow.
You could even, if you get commercial, again, I like Trader Joe's whole wheat crust, but I'll make them in not just one big pizza crust, but let's say three smaller crusts, bake them all at the same time, freeze two, and just add tomato sauce and vegetables or whatever I want to add and have that. So cooking in quantity and freezing is helpful. I do have a handout that I don't know if I can have available on the website of some meal ideas.
Sure.
But yes, go
One
ahead.
Other question, I'm sorry. I
yeah.
just wanted to get, because another thing that comes up frequently, especially with the seniors and they're on a budget, and they're told that organic is the best way.
Yes.
And there's usually a section. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time, though, Christina, maybe we could talk a little bit about it, and then if you guys can stay
yes,
a few
absolutely.
Minutes longer, because
yes.
it's important. A lot of times seniors, you know, get confused. They're told only shop organic.
Right.
Organic is always a little bit more
right.
expensive, but it is probably the best choice. You're getting the food in the wholest form. So,
well, in terms of you're getting the food, you're getting the fruit and vegetables in the whole form, whether they're organic or not. So in terms of nutrient benefit, fiber benefit, even from non-organic fruits and vegetables, it's there. The difference is how the produce was grown, with or without pesticides. I feel, given a choice, the added expense of organic fruits and vegetables, sometimes they're not always available. So if I have the choice of getting fruits and vegetables that are not organic, but I can buy them in quantity, they're available, I would recommend getting non-organic and just washing them well. Very well. All fruits and vegetables, even melons, because a melon, you would be cutting the melon skin and, you know, maybe bringing something from the outside into the inside. But washing everything well, you don't need any special rinses, just water. I would definitely recommend eating non-organic as opposed to eating, saying, I only eat organic, but I can't find
right,
it.
Right, if you can't find it, I'm going to eat less.
A sufficient quantity of non-organic is better than a teeny amount of organic.
And on that
right.
note, we're
yes.
going to go to a break. We have a few seconds left. You've been listening to Project Independence and You, and we will be right back.